In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For the past two Sundays, the Church has been trying to prepare each and every one of us for the beautiful season of Great Lent. And it started with the examples of humility and repentance. We know of the publican and the prodigal son, each of them giving through our Lord's parable a teaching method for us to follow. And these are why our Lord gives us these parables for lessons that we may learn and see ourselves in those individuals that Christ speaks of. But today, we hear very clear-cut language in what will happen in this life and in the life to come. He shall come at the end of the age in all his glory, with all the angels with him to judge the living and the dead. Christ shall sit on the throne of his glory, and before him he will gather all nations of the world. And as we hear, the king will say to those at his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom set from the foundation of the world." And the Lord goes on to explain why these were selected for glory and honor, to be given the honor of being at his right. What did they do? Well, they fed. They gave drink. They welcomed. They clothed. They took care of. And they visited those who were in need, which means our Lord says that they helped him when he needed help. And we hear the righteous say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or sick and help you?" And the Lord answered them, "Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me." Christ then went on to tell what happens to those at the left. And I cringe whenever I say those words in the service, and even now, because our Lord will say those words, "Leave, get out, away from me, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. For I was hungry, thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison, and you did not help me." The group might have protested and said, "Lord, when do we see you in any such need?" And Christ says, "Inasmuch as you did not do this to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it not to me." And then follows the final verdict. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There are several things that appear crystal clear from our Lord's lesson today. The first one is that there will be a final judgment. And many people live as if judgment of God is of no concern whatsoever. Others think this idea was developed by an individual, a man-made decision, out of fear of sin and doing something wrong. But my beloved brothers and sisters, we have the authority of Christ himself, as he taught his apostles, so graphically, this scene that will take place at the time of judgment. Which means the time for judgment is now. And I'm going to take a side note so we can better educate each other. In the Orthodox Church, There is no such thing that when we get a call as clergy, when Father John or I get a call, Father, Father, please come quick, come and give last rites. That is another Christian denomination's practice and call. Well, Father, the Orthodox Church doesn't have last rites? Yeah, we do. It's called right now. What we're doing every moment, every second, every minute, every hour is our last rites. Now, if you think of that for a moment, chances are you're going to say, I'm not going to do some things that I should not have done in the first place that I didn't feel great about doing, so I need to change. Hence the word repentance that we heard last week, changing. See how the church guides us, leading us one thing to the next? You got to have humility, and then after humility comes repentance, and then after repentance comes a change of way or a change of life. That way you can be seated at the right hand of God. Good might suffer in this life, and evil might prosper and reign. But in the time of the final judgment, true justice will be metered out, and each and every one of us will face the judgment seat of Christ. I heard a monk say the following, because someone asked him, what happens when we die? What happens? Where do we go? And this monk said, I was told this and I'm going to share it with you. It's as if when you get into a car and you tell a young person to fall asleep because we'll get there faster. That's not true. We don't get there faster when we're awake. It takes the same amount of time. But for a young person, when their eyes close and then they wake up and they say, or maybe you're the spouse and you're sitting in the front seat and you're saying, oh, I'll be awake with you. So that way you're not by yourself awake driving. And then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, not saying anything, Gloria. Chances are you wake up and you say, oh my gosh, we're already here. That flew. No. Time didn't fly. Time is actually time. But this monk goes on to say that when we fall asleep in this life and we breathe our last, as soon as our physical eyes close, our spiritual eyes open, and we're at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're judged right then and there. Yeah, hair standing up a little bit. That's why we need to live our life well-pleasing to God right now, during our time of last rites, right now. Because the judgment will include all of mankind. Every single person, all nations, our Lord said, would appear before His throne of judgment. And there no one will escape this divine appointment. No one can reschedule. No one can ask for a delay. No one can ask and say, oh, I didn't get that email. It got lost in the spam. I didn't get that text. I didn't have reception. No. We know, so we must plan to live our life as best as we can for Christ to want to be with Him. Thirdly, we must note that the judgment will be based on what? What is the judgment is going to be based off of? What do we hear about today? Love. 2 weeks ago, we heard about humility. Last week, we heard about repentance. Today, about judgment, we hear about either how we love and we treat individuals. Remember the time when Christ asked, which of the greatest of the commandments? Remember, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. There is a tremendous truth revealed in our Lord's description of the judgment seat. Christians often think how wonderful it must have been 2,000 years ago to be able to help Christ himself. If Christ would come to my house, or if I would have climbed the sycamore tree and I could have been there, I could have touched his garment. Do we see our neighbor as Christ-like? Do we treat a stranger with a smile? Do we walk down the street and just simply say, good morning, good afternoon, have a good evening? Let the person look at you and say, what's wrong with this guy? Or if you're depending on where you are in New England, they might give you a choice word. Does that mean that we're not supposed to do what we're called to do by Christ? You see, we are to help others by caring for others. And by taking care of others, we help and take care of Christ. Finally, we learn in this gospel passage something that the eternal destiny that awaits mankind. According to Christ, some go to the everlasting life with him, and others go into extreme punishment. And some might ask, well, I hear it's fire in one place, I hear it's like this. Again, being away from God for eternity is punishment in itself. Not having God and his blessing and his comfort is being in anguish and in need and not getting any help. This great division involves two groups, separated once and for the rest of time. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, when a traveler goes from one country to another, we know that if you have everything, you have that thing called customs that you have to go through. And they examine everything that you have. And sometimes you might look at it and be like, oh, how long did it take? Oh, it took 45 minutes to get through customs. And then that same person that you were with in your family got in and out. Hey, what's your name? Dimitri. Okay, where are you coming from? I just got back from my first time in Greece. Okay, great. Have a good one. Quick and easy. Yet, if you're entering a country for the first time, they examine your papers, they check your identification, they make sure that everything is right coming into their land. They also might inspect your baggage just to make sure you're not bringing anything forbidden being brought or taken out of the country. Then, that individual is cleared for their final passage as a traveler. Something of this nature is also involved in us in this great journey. Except we're bringing all our luggage every day, carrying it. Sometimes it's good luggage, and sometimes it's bad luggage. When we appear at the border, at the heavenly gates, there is going to be an inspection on our identity and our right to enter into the promised land. But instead of checking a passport, instead of checking our papers, instead of checking our stamps, and checking our identification, our deeds are going to be checked. Our generosity, our welcoming, most importantly, the usage of love. That is what is going to allow us to enter into our Lord's heavenly kingdom. The Lord himself will be right there And may each and every one of us be given the privilege, I hope and pray, to hear his beautiful voice on that day. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was in prison, and you welcomed me. Amen.